And I don't mean that like in the sense today. She was just a cool mom, and she could cook really good, and that ruined me from early on in life, because everything she made was wonderful. She was fun. She was tough. She's a tough lady. I remember one time she asked me to get up and help her. The well had not got primed or something, and she asked me to get up and help her, and I guess I took a little bit too long to get up to help her, and I got a bucket through up my head. A 5-gallon bucket was had a little bit of water in it, and it hurt. And she gave pretty good whoopings. But I loved her, and I was a mama's boy most of my life, going up 13, 14 years old. Then my mom through a lot of hurts and pains and things in her life, became addicted to alcohol and drugs, and almost became what seemed like my worst enemy for most of my adult life. We would go from preaching places to nothing but messages about from my mom cursing me out after the message. And I'd have to get my wife to delete the messages from my mom. But I'd always have to remind myself that it wasn't her. And then down near the end of her life, my mom called me one day and she said, "Kevin, I've been listening to what you've been telling me most of them." She goes, "I won't help." I said, "Mama, I'll come help you." I walked her into a detox and then got her into a program, a Christ-centered recovery program. Stood in the front yard, my mom's house, about 7 months later, and she turned around and she told me, she said, "Kevin, that was the greatest thing that ever happened to me, because while I was there," and she didn't even realize it, she just kept doing this. She goes, "I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior." In 2018, I was visiting my other family, my wife's family in Georgia, and I received a call on the phone that my mama had passed suddenly. And it changed Mother's Day for me. I'm happy that my mother's in heaven, but it's hard. But the greatest assurance I have, the greatest memory I got with my mom, is her standing in that yard, pointing at her chest, saying, "I know him as my Lord and Savior." That helps me more than anything. That gets me through every single Mother's Day, every time that I'm struggling with not having my mother or father. I know where they're at. That was good worship this morning. I kind of wish that I wasn't standing up here. I wish we would have kind of fell on over into the place we should have in the worship. But I plan to preach. I'm going to preach 9 verses this morning from the book of Ruth, and I'm thankful to God for allowing me to go back to the book of Ruth again. I planned to preach another message, but God had other plans, and his plans are better than our plans. Ruth chapter 2, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Ruth didn't know Boaz. Naomi knew Boaz, but Ruth didn't know him. Ruth had made a declaration to Naomi. It's one of the greatest declarations I've ever heard in the scriptures before. Matter of fact, I've almost taken this up. I think that we probably need to take what Ruth said and start applying them to weddings. Amen? She said, "Where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. I'll live where you live, and I'll die where you die, and we'll be buried where we're buried together." Wouldn't those be good wedding nuptials? Wouldn't that be good things to say at your wedding? "Wherever you're going, I'm going." Some of y'all need to look over and nudge your wife and go, "Wherever you're going, I'm going." Husband, "Wherever you're going, I'm going. Wherever your people are, my people." Amen. "Where you die, I'll die. Your God, my God. Your people, my people." Amen. Anyway, she didn't know Boaz.
She had made a commitment to God and to God's people, but she didn't really know who God was. Naomi had a relationship, but she didn't. Some of y'all are going on somebody else's relationship. You've got a profession of Christ, but you've got no possession of a relationship. It's good to be saved. It's great to be saved, but it's even better to know the one who you're saved by. I kept thinking about that this week. Praise God, everybody wants to go to heaven, amen? You never meet anybody at the funeral home or anybody that's about to pass away who wants to go to hell. There ain't no person that does. Praise God, when you talk to them, no, I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to heaven. But you know what? Heaven wouldn't be heaven without Jesus. So let me tell you something. If you want to go to heaven, it's because you're in love with Jesus. Because everything heaven is about what he is. She knew that she had a kinsman redeemer, but Ruth hadn't known him. I want to tell you this. You might not know this, but everybody in this room, you got a kinsman redeemer. Amen? You got a near kinsman redeemer who loves you. Let me tell you this way. He's got the hookup for you. Hey, listen, he's got prestige, he's got power, he's got money, he's got wealth, he's got everything, he's got health, he's got everything in there. Praise God, he'll make all your life come together. Praise God, he's got it all. And listen, you don't even know that he's out there. Golly, I wish y'all helped me preach this morning. I'm telling you right now, you don't even know, some of y'all don't even know he's there, amen? You didn't even know that he existed. He's there, but you didn't know, he didn't know that he was related to you. You didn't know that he was looking for you. You didn't know that he was been seeking for you your whole life. Some of y'all are like, man, I know Jesus, but you didn't know who he really was. Amen? You didn't really know who he was. See, I didn't know who he was until I knew who he was. We got a near kinsman redeemer, and he's wanting to change your life. He is wanting you so bad. He's wanting to change your life so bad. He wants to make your life so good. And Ruth the Moabite, I love Ruth. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz and who was in the kindred of Elimelech. She went like this. She got there. She said, I made a declaration. Some of y'all have made declarations. I get that. Some of y'all have made a profession of being saved. Some of y'all have believed in Jesus Christ. But some of y'all are still sitting on the same spot you were when you got saved. Ruth got in the family. She made the declaration. I'm going with you. I'm living with you. Your God's my God. I'll go and die where you're dying. But you know what? She got up there to Bethlehem, the house of bread. She got up there to the house of bread. She got up. What, if you don't know what Bethlehem, that means house of bread. Jesus is the bread of life. You got in, but you didn't know what you had. Ruth's sitting there at the house, and she's going, there's got to be more to this than just being here. Some of y'all need to touch yourself and go like this. There's more to being a Christian than just sitting here. Amen? There is more to being a Christian than just coming to the house of God and sitting here. There's more to being a Christian than just telling people a date that you got saved. Whew. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to preach whether you smile or not or whether you pay attention or not. I'm going to preach anyway. But I'm just going to tell you this. Look at this. She said, I got up and she went and she goes, she asked her mother-in-law, you mind if I go to work in the field? Do you mind if I get in the field? Some of y'all, it would be awesome if you would just get in the field. You got the blood. You've got the salvation. You've got the eternal place of rest. You got that going. But praise God, if you'll just step out and do something, so you'd be amazed that you would just happen. She just happened to fall into Boaz's field. She just happened to fall in exactly where God would want her. She just happened to hit the right place at the right time. Some of y'all are sitting there going, I don't know why life ain't working out. I don't know why I'm not getting this. I'm not marrying that. I'm not seeing this. I'm not. You know why? Because you're still sitting on the same spot. You never went and said, hey, God, I'll put some legs to my prayers. I'll put some actions to my faith. Amen. I'm not going to be a dead Christian. I'm going to be a living Christian. I'm going to go out and I'm going to make this thing. I'm going to go to work, not because I have to work to get into heaven, but I want to work because I'm in heaven. Amen. We are in heavenly Christ, we are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus today. So if that's the case, then I'm going to work like it depends on me, but I know it depends all on Him. Amen. Whew. She got up. She just happened. I love this. Ruth went down there. And you know, God is a God who works on the low places. He will meet you in the lowest places of life sometimes. Lost all of her family. Lost her husband. She is now at a place where she is working on welfare. Yeah, see, this is the welfare program back then. The welfare program of this time and era was when the reapers come by. They would leave the corners of the field for people who were poor and destitute but weren't afraid to work. Wait a minute. I just want to let that sink in. I just want to kind of let that just simmer just a minute. They needed. They were hurting. They couldn't find. But guess what? They wasn't afraid to go out and put some sweat and activity in to get. They just didn't let somebody sit there with a hand out and say, just give it to me. I'm able-bodied. I'm able to do, but I'd just rather get it for free. They said, hey, I love, Ruth goes, guess what? I made a decision. I believe in God. I trust in God. But guess what? I ain't afraid to get to the lowest part and do a hard day's work. Some of you, man, I'll tell you right now, we're sitting here looking at the world. We're going, man, I wonder what's going to change the world. I wonder what's going to happen in the world. I wonder what the president's going to do. I wonder what the Supreme Court's going to do. I wonder what Congress is going to do. I wonder what the church, the very first church never looked out and said, I wonder what Rome's going to do. The first church said, you know what? All we got to do is tell enough people about Jesus and we'll turn this whole world upside down. That's the problem. We look out at the world and we want it to change, but praise God, we are the change. We're the change. We're the ones who's supposed to be changing the world. We're sitting back like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to us? Pray, I'll tell you what's going to happen to us. One day there's going to be a shout out of the eastern sky, followed by a trumpet, followed by us going out of here we will, in a twinkling of an eye, we will be transformed. I'm sorry, that's just old school preaching. Amen. One of these days we're gone and we're in heaven. We're going to spend eternity with Jesus. We should spend our time here saying, you know what? I got some hope. Like a city on a hill? That's what Jesus described you. He said a city on a hill. We look like a candle with a bushel over a candle under a bed. Amen. We're hiding out trying to make sure nobody sees this Jesus thing in me, because man, if they see that, I might lose my job, I might lose my relationship, I might lose, praise God, lose everything for Jesus. I'll just say it the way I just said it. Lose everything for Him. Because if you don't think He can replace it, if you don't think He's a big enough God, you got the wrong God. If you got a God who you don't think can get you through this life, you got the wrong God. Amen? I've got a God who can meet every need. Even when you get to the low places, she's over there in the field working on the cook. Can you see her? Is there any mamas in here who had to do some stuff you didn't think you was going to have to do? Have you ever had to get tough when you didn't want to get tough? Man, maybe you done it through tears. Maybe you done it through fear. Maybe you done it with your hands shaking, not sure if you was going to help the kids or hurt the kids, hurt the family or help. Goodness gracious, y'all are making me preach way too hard. Amen. Is there anybody in here thought, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it, but I'm going to try making it. Amen? I see Ruth over there just working in that field, just picking up the grain. Let's just go a little further. Watch this right here. Verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Ain't you glad when God shows up? He's a representation of the near kinsman. He's a representation of Jesus Christ Himself in the Old Testament. He is a type and shadow. And said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered to him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant, that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Let me pump the brakes right here. And God told me to preach to some of you men in here just for a moment. I'm preaching to everybody, but this is for, and let me just say, let's blanket say, this is for everybody, okay? But listen to what Boaz did. When Boaz rose up on the scene, I know I use that kind of weird talk, but he comes to the job site. Is that better? Okay, he shows up at the job site. He is a businessman. He is a farmer. He is an executive. He is smart. He is capable. He shows up, and the first thing he addresses his men, he says, God bless you. And the men say, God bless you. God, when I was getting this message ready, God said this to me. He told me to tell everybody in here that works in this world, who's in business, who's in finance, who does farming, who, wherever you go in your regular day of work, whatever you do, he says, hey, put God in it. No, I'll say it again. Put Jesus. Some of y'all, you live a certain way in this place. You put on as a Christian here, but in your business life, you separate yourself and you say stuff like, well, if I act like a Christian there, I'll be weak, or I'll be taken advantage of, or I'll be looked as less than, or they'll get the better of me. I hate to tell you this. God says, be a Christian wherever you're at. If you are a Christian, be one. Don't be ashamed. Run your business, run your family, run your life as a Christian. Oh, my goodness. Boaz had influence and wealth, and he was a believer. Amen? He was a powerful Christian man. Guess what? A powerful Christian man doesn't bend and bow and break to the world. He stands on what he believes on. He will either gain everything or lose everything in Jesus Christ. Some of y'all are sitting there going, man, you're good on Sunday. You're good on Sunday. And you're good when you're talking about church. But in a business deal, you ain't. You'll cheat. You'll shortfall. You'll do people wrong. You'll slight people. That's not godly. Amen? I don't know who that's for, but that's from God. And let me tell you something. If you're on the job, oh, some of y'all going, well, I got a terrible boss. If you're on the job, you're supposed to be a believer there too. Your words and your actions on the job and in your community will do more harm or help than all the words you'll speak in this church. Amen? Because somebody who's working with you or for you or around you will hear you and go, that don't add up. That don't add up. That person loves on Sunday and hates on Monday. Amen? Be careful. Be careful. I liked when Boaz rolled up. His workers, if you get back to the end, workers and servants and stuff like that, those are almost slaves, if you translate the word out right. He treated his slaves. They knew he was a godly man. Could you imagine? We're just talking about work here. We're just talking about our regular lives. Praise God. Would anybody hold you accountable? I love the old statement. It's been around church forever. Could you get 12 of your friends to find you guilty of being a Christian? If they put them on a jury trial and they took you to court, could anybody be guilty of being a Christian? Could they say, oh man, yeah, she's going, no doubt about it. And that's awful quiet in here. Either I'm preaching real good and God's dealing with people, or I think that's where we're at, right? Let's go a little further. I love that. Then Boaz said, who is the damsel? Listen to this. God recognizes you. God sees you. You ain't never got out of his eyes. He's always seen you. He's always beheld you. He created you. He made you. He knows exactly where you're at. Praise God, I love him. He acts all cool about it, though. He, like you didn't know, you know, he talks to the guys, how's it going? As I get, he goes, who is that right there? Who's Ruth? Where is she? What's her story? Amen? I love that. Hey, she don't even belong there. Is there anybody in here that don't even belong? Little Moabite girl, a girl who didn't, man, nobody thought she was going to be in the lineage of Christ, more or less in that field, no more doing what she was doing. But praise God, God recognizes. I don't care if the whole world sees you. If God sees you, that's the most important person that sees you. Amen? Watch this right here. In verse 6, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab, verse 6. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even in the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Listen to this. How is your report? Remember when I said, could you be found guilty? Did you know what her report was? She got a report back from somebody else. Somebody else had to tell Boaz. Somebody else had to tell God. Somebody else had to relay the information for Ruth, because one moment, she had been there all day reaping. She had been all day working, and she took a time and she went in the place and sat down in the field house and was sitting there taking a rest. And you know what? She didn't get to defend herself. But you know what defended herself? Her testimony of who she was, her character. her story. Amen. Somebody was watching her. Somebody was listening to her. Somebody was paying attention to her that day. And somebody said, hey, who is the little damsel right there? And a guy stood, one of the servants says up and she goes, she's been here all day. She's worked all day. She asked to come here. She asked for permission to be here. She's not hardly took any time off. Lord, I mean, she's been at it. Man, wouldn't that be awesome if you were standing there before God and somebody said, is there a character witness here for them? Is there somebody who would be a mouthpiece? They say, man, I wouldn't be coming to heaven without them. I wouldn't be standing here without them. Amen. Ever since they got in the field, ever since they got saved and got in the field, they've been working for the Lord and it helped me. Amen. They said a word. They prayed. They studied. They gave me something I needed. Praise God. Wouldn't that be amazing? She didn't even know. Can I break it down for you like this? Guess what? God has conversations about you and me and we're not privy to it. God has, man, he's having conversations. Remember when Job, we read the book of Job, have you considered my servant Job? Listen to this. God's up there having comment. He's having a commentary and a running story with you. What is he talking, what are they talking about when it comes to you? What is the story with you? I saved him. I rescued him out of the pits of hell. I got him out of the miry clay. But they really don't really recognize me or come to me or talk to me anymore. Man, I wish they would. I wish they just, all they'd have to do is turn. All they'd just have to talk. All they'd do is bend. All they'd do is just bend their neck just a little bit to me and I'd come running. You know what? All the way through the Old Testament, God just kept telling Israel, anytime that you find yourself in a bad situation and you ain't seeing me and you ain't experiencing me and all these things are happening to you, all the plagues, all the destruction, all you have to do is turn to me. Some of y'all are struggling in your lives. I'm telling you, you're struggling in your home. You're struggling in your marriage. There are things going around your home and around your house that are devastating you, and you know it, and you play real cool in here. All you would have to do is to turn to the Lord and say, God, help me. I'm not saying immediately, but God would systematically begin to work that stuff out, and you would be blown away. In about 5 or 10 years, you'll be standing there looking and going, oh, my God, how in the world did he take us from here to there? And you say, how do you know that? Because I've experienced it. I've experienced it through my father, through me, and many, many, many people since then. I have seen people who are devastated by sin, and all they did was turn to God, and God started working it out systematically throughout their life. What's this right here? And she said, I pray you. In verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou me? It gets good in verse 8. Because I love when God's talking about me, and I love when God's having some ideas towards me. But you know what I like more than anything else than that? I like when God comes directly to me. Whew. Has anybody else experienced God directly? Not indirectly, not through somebody else, not through my grandmother or my mom or my dad or my brother or sister, but guess who? That's how you get saved when God shows up. Amen. When God shows up, that's how you get saved. That's how you get into the relationship. Amen. Verse 8. Let's get, y'all ready to break this thing down because it's going to get good. Are y'all all right? Everybody good? Y'all shake it out just a little bit? Watch this right here. Watch verse 8. Then says Boaz unto Ruth, hearest me now, my daughter. Let's stop right there. He said, listen good. Whew. Listen, pay attention. Listen really good right here. Ain't that good? Ain't that good? That's God. Let's say just Boaz is a representation to Jesus. He said, listen to me good. What was the next thing out of his mouth? My daughter. She had a profession to a salvation to a God. But then all of a sudden, when God connects and says, I don't look at you as somebody I'm just saving you. I am a father to you. I am a brother to you. I am a friend. Golly, I wish some of y'all get that right there. Because God is God to me. He's big. He's up there. And I know he's in control of the whole thing. But also, he is my best friend. Amen. He is my brother. And he is my father. Amen. He is a representation. But there's a relationship there that's greater than anything else that I know. Praise God. He comes in and he tells her first thing. This is a lady who has none of the things that she needed. Listen to this. God will become your father. God will become your mother. God will become your immediate family. Praise God. He will do that, and it's an amazing thing. What you need of God, he will become. Whew. I don't know about you. That's good. Amen. Some of y'all are going, what do you mean? Man, Ruth has left everything that she knows. And she finally meets somebody who's got everything. And the first thing out of his mouth was, "Daughter." Man, when I didn't think I had anything, God calls me son. Amen. Whew. When you don't have anything, God says, you've got a connection in heaven, and I've never ran out of anything. Whew. Go, I don't know if y'all get that. We're almost getting ready to get to the message. "It has fully been shewed to me," or shown to me, "all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of the nativity, and art come unto a people which thou..." Oh, I'm jumped way ahead. Sorry about that. "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou, my daughter? Go now, glean in an..." Don't... "Go not, glean not in another field." All right, y'all see that? That's verse 8. Sorry, I jumped way down. "To glean in another field." All right, listen. Don't go anywhere else. Whew. Some of y'all are going to learn this the hard way. Don't go anywhere else. Hey, he's the shepherd. Get behind him. Follow him. Don't go anywhere else. I know it sounds simple, and I saw it sounded like a little archaic, but guess what? Don't go nowhere else. If God's taking care of you, don't look for something else. Amen? That's what he's saying. Stay in the field. Whew. Keep your eyes on me. Watch this next part. It's so good. Some of y'all need to hear this right here. "Glean in the field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast with my maids." God, love this. God told me to write this one down. Abide with the maids. Not only did he give her a father, not only did he give her a savior, not only did he give her a friend, he gave her community. Amen? Abide with the maids. You know what he said to me? He said this right here. He goes, "Hey, be with the maids." But what he said, what you didn't hear him say is, be jealous of the maids. Be critical of the maids. Amen? Don't compare yourself to the maids. Man. Don't compete. Just stay where they are. Don't correct. Don't fix. Just have fellowship. Work in the same field. Try to do the same things. Your goal is, man, your goal is the same. See, some of y'all are having an issue because y'all are comparing yourself to the maids. You're jealous of the maids. You measure yourself up by the man. Oh, she does this and he does that and she does. God said, stay with them. Don't become a competitor. Oh, my gosh. Man, if some of y'all play it cool in church. But if some of y'all would ever let that really, really happen in your life. I wish I was tall like her. I wish I was skinny like her. I wish I was short like her. I wish this, right? I wish I had her job. I wish I had her husband. I wish I had her kids. Guys, y'all same way. I wish I had his car. Wish I had his house. Wish I had his kind of job. I wish I had, right? Man, he's strong. He's tall. He's fit. He's whatever. That's not what God told us to do. God says, stay with him. We fit jointly together. The body of Christ fits jointly together. Amen? We fit jointly together. We come together, and we're supposed to work together in the field doing the same thing. Our goal is the same. Amen? Watch this next part right here. Verse 9. This is where we come to preach at this morning. And the title of the message comes from this right here. "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." And I put it in simple terms right there. And this is the title of the title of the message. When you get thirsty. When you get thirsty, you come to the water that's provided. God told me there's a spiritual thirst. Amen? And we're all going to have spiritual thirst. And God gave me about 7 things to talk to you about, and I'm going to be done. I'm going to go real quick. But I want you to get these. When you are lonely, that's a spiritual thirst. When you are lonely and you are thirsty in that form, and you're going to reach out for a man or for a woman or for companionship or for people that don't have your best interest. When you're lonely and you don't know what to do next, God says, go unto the water that is provided. I will be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen? If you are thirsty for companionship, make me your friend. I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. Watch this right here. I will be a better friend to you than anybody else, and I'll also be a filter of friends. And when I say a filter of friends, I want you to hear this. I know this ain't popular preaching, but listen, let everybody that comes into your life come through Jesus. And if they can't come through Jesus, they must stay out. Because if they can't come through Jesus, if they can't come through the blood, then they can't stay. Amen? If they don't love Him like I love Him, if they can't see that, if they got to ridicule, make fun, or belittle for you for that, then you got to look at them and say, I'm sorry, I love Him more than I love you. Somebody say, you're going to ruin my relationship. I hope so. You're going to ruin my friendships. I hope so. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if they can come and they don't come through Jesus, they're going to do more harm than good. Jesus is a good filter. He is a friend who can tell you who to be friends with. Amen? Unappreciated. There's no mothers in here whatsoever has felt unappreciated. When you feel unappreciated, like all the things that you do are going unnoticed, and you start to get bitter and angry and frustrated. Men, same way. Go to the water that is provided. Go to the water that is provided. He will lift you up. He will encourage you. If you will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt you in due time. If you come to Him and say, God, I feel like nobody loves me. I feel like nobody appreciates what I'm doing. God, I'm working so hard and there's nobody noticing. God, I'm telling you, in His Spirit will say, I see you. I see you, child. And your ministry unto your family is good. Your ministry to your family is good. I see it. It's honorable. Amen? Some of y'all are going, you do it in the church, you do it in your ministry, you do it in your work. I'm unappreciated. Go to the water that is provided. I hope y'all already understand what this. The water that is provided is Jesus Christ. He is the living water. Feel yourself less than. I'm less than. Everybody else is better than me. Some of you don't have that problem, but a lot of us do. Amen? Less than. I'm less than these people. Amen? They're great and I'm less than. God says, come to the water that is provided. And I will show you exactly who you are. All the ground is level at Calvary. I love all my children equally. I don't have one above another. There's nobody more important. There are no big I's and little U's. I love everybody the same. Whew. I died for everybody the same. Man, that's important to me. Praise God, because sometimes we can get in that place where you think, man, that's easy for them. And another thing is God will remind you that they have struggles too. Amen? All alone in service, all alone as a preacher, all alone as a singer, all alone as a teacher, all alone in ministry, all alone. I'm the only one. I think Elijah got to that place where he said that. He said, I'm the only one, Lord. I'm the only one serving you. I'm the only one out here doing that. You know what he said? I've got 7,000. I have got 7,000 that has never bent a knee or bowed a head to Baal. God's got people that you know not of, amen? And if you would come back to God and say, God, I feel like I'm all alone in this service of God thing. I think I'm the only Christian. Guess what? You know what He'll do? He'll do the most amazing stuff. He'll show you other. I remember when I first got into ministry, I said, I'm the only one who cares about homeless people. I'm the only one in person. And then I ran into a place that all they did was feed homeless 3 days a week and put a homeless shelter. And I was kind of like, I'm kind of behind the ball here. So I got involved and helped them, and I realized, wait a minute, I'm not the only person who cares. Somebody's been caring for a lot longer than I have. You're not all alone. You're not the only one who's doing what you do. When you don't have anybody, but then here's another problem. This is where we'll stop today. When you have a lot of people around you, but none of them are the right ones, there's a problem. You feel like you're all alone, and there's sometimes you feel like you're very lonely. But then there's other times in life, whew, Lord help, where the enemy, the devil himself, and you will choose a lot of people to be in your life, and none of them are the right people. None of them are the right people. You're doing things and saying things and going places and doing things that you said you would never do. You're calling it fun. You're calling it having the time of your life, and you put it out to everybody that you're having the time of your life, but you know, and God knows, and God knows. Come to the water that is provided and see the reality because it reminds me of a little woman in John chapter 4 who came to the well about noontime. She had had five husbands, and the man she was married to now, or was with now, was not her husband. She had went through the cycle of life up and down and up and down, and she met a man at a well who she would finally marry up to. She came to the water that was provided, and he sent her down into town, and she told all the men of that city. Ain't that amazing? A woman who had an issue with men has now told every man in the city of Samaria to come out to see a man who told me all things. I had a man problem. I don't know what your problem is. I've got this problem. God is the fix of all that problem. And guess what? At the end of your life, or the after part of your life of being saved, you can minister to people who have that same problem. Amen. Ain't that amazing? I want to tell you this morning, this is the sum up of the message as we all stand and they come get a song. Come, some of y'all need to do this. Y'all are struggling in your life, struggling in your area. Somebody go across the street and grab our little army over there, if you would. Chase, one of you, would you run over there and get those? They're waiting for you. Okay, thank you. They play a song. Some of y'all need to...